La la la, Yahweh, hey hey hey, yeah, hey, 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 oh, 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 ay, ay,
Empowered Health, a podcast shedding light on how healing is an inside job. Keys to your inner power and total transformation. Discussing wholeness, wellness, and the effects of the mind on the physical and energetic parts of our being. A podcast to support you, moving from fear and pain into wellness and purpose. Belief, hope, connection, energetic keystones for transformation and inner power. Sacred knowledge that inspires us to look within, to find our own unique path. Empowered health, release and rewire to become what you truly are, strong, whole, and empowered.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane and Shell, your naturopathic doctors, here to inspire and support you on your journey.
Today, we have Jeff Levy from Boston. Jeff attended Temple University in Philadelphia, received an MBA at Suffolk University in Boston, has worked for Comcast, Harvard Business Review, and was the founder of a startup that could tell listeners whenever their favorite song was a few minutes away from playing on air. He's always been interested in broadcasting and is currently the host of the podcast My Dog Brandy, a love story about the lessons taught by this amazing dog growing up. Welcome, Jeff.
Welcome, Jeff. We are so excited to have you here today.
It's great being with both of you. Thank you.
As you know, we were speaking last week, and you really will inspire a lot of people with your story. So let's get right to it. We know that a few years ago, you had a serious heart attack.
Right.
And we know that you're a fierce businessman.
Right.
And now we want to know how you became a Kundalini yogi through this experience, Jeff.
Well, I won't go that far and say I'm a Kundalini yogi, but I'll tell you, I mean, the closest I ever got to meditation was, maybe 20 years ago, I did a couple of sessions of meditation, and it kind of scared me because I noticed, like, part of the whole thing with meditation is it's supposed to increase synchronicity. So what seem like sort of should be random events happen. And what I was doing is I was running into people I hadn't seen in like 20 years on the street or at a restaurant. Like, it was happening over and over again. And I said, I can't do this. Like, this is really, really bizarre. So I stopped it. I didn't do it that long. You know, I did all this business stuff and was really focused on business and really focused on sort of, I'm a practical person. I'm not one of these woohoo, you know, people that are like into the mystic arts or anything like that, right? So I never would have done yoga, never would have done meditation again. And then I had this heart attack. And I just, you know, short stories, I woke up one morning, sick to my stomach, went to a hospital, went to an urgent care center. They didn't diagnose it right. They diagnosed it as like the stomach flu, went home, and I just knew something was wrong. Went to the hospital, a local hospital, and they missed it again. They thought it was a stomach flu. I came home, and then I started feeling better. And the next day, I was supposed to meet someone for coffee, and I stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts. And I had trouble breathing. And I said, you know, this is not right. Do I go meet this person for coffee or do I go back to the hospital? And I said, okay, I'm going to go back to the hospital. And went back to the hospital and they said, we're just going to check your heart. And they're like, you know, you had a heart attack. They did the blood test and everything. And I was like, oh my God. So I went to Brigham and Women's Hospital. That's where they moved me. because that's where my doctors are located, which is a major teaching hospital, if you're not familiar with it, in Boston. And they bring me into the ER. And the first thing is I want to make sure that, like, the doctors are the top, the number one doctor. So, you know, the guy that's like the ER doctor looks like he's like 20 years old. And I said, I hope you don't mind, doctor, but can you tell me a little bit about your background? And they all talk like really low, calming voice. He said, sure, Mr. Levy, do you want to know where I went to undergrad or did my fellowship or residence? I said, please, doctor, tell me everything. And he said, okay, United States Naval Academy, Harvard and Yale. And I was like, okay, this guy can treat me. You know, he's on board. So, you know, they take you in, they do all this stuff. And then eventually I got to the cath lab where they did a stent. And I'm asking all these questions because they have these plates over your head that you can't see what's going on because they're all x-ray plates. And I'm asking the guy, you know, you don't feel anything. And you're fully awake. And finally the fellow, cardiac fellow who was doing it said, again, very calm voice, Mr. Levy, I really need you to stop asking me questions. I'm in your heart. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to shut up. So I went through that whole experience. And then the next step is you go through cardiac rehab, which is a series of, you go like twice a week and they put you on the treadmill and kind of rehabilitate the heart. Because what happens is when you have a heart attack, it's such a shock. You have to make sure the heart recovers properly. And my injection fraction was actually, I mean, there's really low injection fractions where you need an assisted device. I wasn't that serious, but it still had dropped. And so I did the cardiac rehab, and they showed one day this video from, I think it was Henry Benson or Herbert Benson. I think it's Henry Benson from the Mind Body Institute at Harvard Medical School talking about the power of meditation. And I said, this is a bunch of baloney. And he starts showing these videos of how meditation, they've proven, this is no longer theory about the mind and body connection. They've proven that meditation actually can turn on and off your gene sense, pieces within your gene, like they've proven it. So again, being a business guy, high stress, right? Didn't eat right. My parents had heart attacks. My mom died of a heart attack. Like, I did not win the gene pool when it came to the heart. I was like, okay, I got to pay attention to this. So I started figuring out, well, what should I do? And I looked and actually studied all the different forms of yoga and settled on, okay, I'm going to try going to Kundalini yoga because it's supposed to be, you know, anything is supposed to be better than nothing, but it's supposed to be like the root of yoga. It's supposed to be the most powerful. So I went and took some classes and it's a workout. And part of it is this meditation. And I always felt a lot better coming out of it. And I had taken time off from work. So I'm doing this like 4 days a week and just felt a lot better. And, you know, the long and short of it is I went back to the doctor and they tested me again. And my injection fraction had gone up to almost back to normal, which is really unusual.
And so for the listeners, Jeff, like the ejection fraction is how strong your heart is pumping blood out of the left ventricle.
That's exactly it.
Explain to us, if we had never heard of meditation, you are the person to explain to our listeners, what is this mystical term, meditation?
Yes. What does it mean? Yeah, so it's actually, I mean, again, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, so I have to simplify things, but it's basically this calming of your mind. And it doesn't, depending on the meditation, I also started up doing transcendental meditation. But regardless of the meditation, anything is better than nothing. But it's the idea that you let the mind settle. And in transcendental meditation, what they say is, you know, the forefront of your mind is like this choppy ocean, right? When you go to the ocean, but deep within the ocean, it's settled. And your mind just naturally wants to go there. If you just relax and you focus on this mantra, that just sort of settles it and you go down. And it's this deep, deep rest. Kundalini yoga is a meditation. It's a little different. You focus on breathing techniques and thinking about a phrase and repeating a phrase. But the same idea is that it's this restful peace that they say, and they've proven scientifically, literally changes your brain waves. And it provides rest that's even better than sleep. And so this happens sort of effortlessly. You know, you don't, it's not a struggle, it just happens. And through that, your body repairs itself. And that's the power of meditation. And there's all these benefits. So there's benefits of reducing stress. I found when I was doing Kundalini yoga, the meditation, like my heart rate would just, and same thing with transcendental meditation, it would just sink. Like sometimes my heart rate went to like 48 or 49 beats a minute from like 70. And it just settles down, and it's amazing. Kundalini yoga is based around moving energy, right? So it's moving energy around your body in a way that it heals itself, and it's therapeutic. So it's all these like principles, but the bottom line is, you know, it's as someone who has explained transcendental meditation to me, you don't have to like believe it, and you don't have to understand how it works. It's like, you don't have to believe in gravity, but if you hold a pencil out with your hand and let go, it's still going to fall. So it's not important that you believe in meditation or believe mm-hmm. in yoga. You just do it and it's going to work. So,
well, it's so amazing too, because you described your life prior to this heart attack as kind of go, go, you know, yeah. not really being in your body, always, you know, probably thinking a million thoughts at a time and hustling this and hustling that and never allowing the body to really rest or the mind.
Exactly. And, you know, I was always, you know, the jobs I had were always in marketing, but they were relatively high stress. I didn't eat well. I've got a bad gene pool. Like I'm the perfect candidate for a heart attack. And it finally, you know, in my 50s, it finally caught up to me. And it happened. I wasn't exercising. I was not taking care of myself. And then I go like literally 180 degrees to all of a sudden doing yoga four times a week, meditating and all of this. And I saw the results, from my health, from the function tests on my heart.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Jane and I, like, we have this belief that everything happens for your highest good. So yeah. What do you think, Jeff, your heart was trying to tell you?
I think it was telling me to just like, first of all, stop. Like this is not a path, not only that's not healthy, but it's not a path you're supposed to be on, right? You've got to make changes. And what's happened since is, so I changed jobs. I've actually changed jobs a couple of times, but the people I've met along the way have become really close to me that I never would have met if I hadn't had a heart attack. So I say the best thing that's ever happened to me was having a heart attack because I would have ended up like completely miserable doing that same job I was doing under a high stress environment. And I'm just happy I made it out alive. And I'm really fortunate because what the doctors said is when I had that choice, where I could have gone and met someone for coffee, or I could have gone back to the hospital. If I had gone for coffee, I would have had an 80% chance of dying. Because it's not having a heart attack. It's if you get to the hospital, I forget the rate, it's like 75 or 80% of the time you'll live, but it's the people that don't make it to the hospital that's where they get into trouble. And I had this fork in the road, and something was telling me to get to the hospital, which is not like me. I would have, you know, I mean, I'm a hypochondriac anyways. So just to give you background, you know, so I'll tell you, my cardiologist, I'm in there, like, instead of once a year, I'm in there every quarter getting a stress test and stuff. And he finally said, I said, what one thing can I do moving forward that will help me? He said, Jeff, the best thing you can do for your heart is to leave your cardiologist alone. I said, ah, you're a funny guy. You're a real funny guy. But if it hadn't been for that heart attack, I would not have ended up here doing a podcast and talking to you. You two lovely ladies never would have had that opportunity. So it is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
It's the most amazing story. I have patients that they have high blood pressure and they're stressed, And we know, like what you're saying, that breathing alone and meditation can take you from sympathetic, where you're in fight or flight, to parasympathetic within minutes.
Yes.
And it can change every physiological reaction in the body.
Yes.
But hearing your story helps people really, you know, understand how powerful that is.
Well, and there's some, I mean, it, people may think, oh, you know, it's all this mumbo jumbo. I mean, there is science that is now backing this up of people that meditate and they follow them, and like case studies. And like I said, I think it's the Benson Institute at Harvard Medical School, they've done studies where they can actually watch the changes in people's DNA. It's down to that level. And I think in a lot of ways, it's like acupuncture 30 years ago, right? 40 years ago, where, you know, in China, my understanding is there's hospitals back, you know, for thousands of years that only did acupuncture. We never really understood how it worked, but now it's an accepted practice. Insurance pays for it. And now I think meditation, where in the 60s, it was this weird thing, you know, that people did. Now it's coming into the mainstream. And I think it's the scientific community always lags sort of the knowledge, and now it's slowly catching up, and I think it's going to be accepted. But now you got to jump on, because it is, I think, singularly the one of the best things you can do for your health.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend who does biofeedback, and she teaches stressed business people right through to athletes on how to control their breath and their mind to, you know, reduce the state of stress, but also to get into a state of zen, you know, where you're like, you can actually be much more in touch with where you want to go because you're
right,
you know, connected and aligned. So really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's so incredible. And I know, like for myself, if people are trying to get into meditation and they're not sure how, it can be as simple as listening to a YouTube meditation before you go to bed. There's many on there. I personally love doing the one at 740 hertz, which tunes up all of your cells and heals your body from pathogens like bacteria, fungus, parasites, which, you know, people can just enjoy a nice restful sleep with that.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever been gonged, but...
Tell us about being gonged, Jeff.
Yeah, so I've been gonged. So the ashram that well, now it's closed, so now it's online, but that I go to, does these gong sessions. So I was actually asking my therapist about it, and she said, oh, you gotta go to a gong session. So I said, okay. So I'm thinking, you know, what the heck is this all about? So I go, and the whole thing is there's people that have been trained with special symbols, right? Gongs, that they play these notes, and it's supposed to be the sound of the universe. And it supposedly permeates down to the cellular level and like aligns it and makes it healthy. And I thought it was a bunch of bull, right? I'm thinking, this is crazy. So I pay the $30 and right, I'm thinking, ah, what the heck? And I lay down, and all of a sudden, like you feel this vibration in your body. And you know, it's been described to me as it's like taking a shower on the inside. And that's what, and you feel like different. And so again, it's this sound, it's to your point about the sound waves, there's something about that sound wave that is, that's nourishing. So I told them the business person, they could make a bundle if they made t-shirts saying, I got gonged. They never took me up on it for some reason. I don't know, but.
And Jeff, how did you feel after it? Like,
you feel just refreshed. I mean, you feel like this deep, deep rest, and you end up falling asleep. And there's certain ways to do it. Like they say, your head's supposed to face it. But it's this vibration. It even works now that we're sort of in this weird situation with the, COVID-19, where they now do it online, and they say put earphones on, and you can still feel it. So it's the same thing. So I've done that. I've also done this thing called Satnam Rasayam. I don't know if you've heard of that, which is a healing modality using like energy and creating an environment that's supposed to be healing. So I've done that. So I've, you know, in the last like few years, I've done all this weird stuff that I never would have done before I had a heart attack.
You told us the story where you felt nothing in the moment and then on the drive home.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Satnam Rasayam, you can look it up. It's S-A-T-N-A-M. And then Rasayam is, I think, R-A-Y-S-A-Y-M or something. You can play around with the spelling. But so there's a course at the ashram. It was like $30 again. And you go, you pay your $30, you go and you lay down and they partner you up. And the person leading it creates this energy field in the room. And the person that is receiving it just lays down. They can do anything. They can think about anything. The person doing it has to think certain thoughts that I guess helps channel this energy. And I'm probably not describing it right. And they put their hands on you, but only because their eyes are closed, so they don't get dizzy. I asked about that. It's not like, you know, their hands have to be on you for it to work. So I did it, you know, and they're asking what any experiences, and I'm saying, I got nothing, like nothing for my $30. So I go up to the woman who's this like esteemed yogi and everything. And I'm like, listen, I paid the $30. I didn't get anything. Don't worry. I assume it's a donation, use it for the kids or something. And that's fine. And I didn't think anything of it. And I'm driving home like 10 or 15 minutes later and bam. It's like something hit me like I was 50 pounds lighter. I felt like I was floating on clouds. And I was like, whoa, this is and that's the way it can work. And you can have this done by a practitioner anywhere in the world. It goes through time and space. They don't even have to be in the same room. And I've had it done where I've had other sessions where the person's been there. I've had other sessions where the person's in LA and I'm here in the Boston area, and it's the same thing. And they'll come afterwards and they'll say, yeah, I felt this issue with this area or this area, and I had to work through it to release it. And it's, you feel better. And again, it's something where, like meditation, you don't have to believe it and you don't even have to understand how it works. But you know, I'm not that much of an idiot to think if something's been going on for thousands of years, there's nothing to it. There's got to be something to it. And the stuff works.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, like for a lot of our listeners, they're really going to get a lot of out of your message with, you know, trying different things, changing their life, doing some things that are self-loving and self-caring, and especially just looking within. Is there anything you want to share with the listeners how this has helped you emotionally heal too?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So I come from a weird family. So my dad, who's still alive, had some severe mental illness. And it happened right around the time I was born. So my dad was actually in the hospital when I was born as a child. And so my mom, I'm an only child, my mom had to sort of take care of sort of both of us. And so other than my dog, Brandy, which is the subject of my podcast, doing this stuff has in therapy really has like just sort of, you feel centered. And I think it opens you up so that you can talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, then it sort of just stays in there. It's just a bunch of gunk. And I for the long time, had never really been able to talk about that stuff. And I've been in therapy for years. And it's only since the heart attack that I've even been able to deal with it. So I think the meditation was kind of just refreshing, and you feel like stuff like layers just peel off that allowed me to get to that point where I could start dealing with this stuff.
That's so incredible how For many of us, you know, we stuff these emotions down, we suppress these feelings until something says, you know what, you're ready to deal with this. It's not going to be as scary as you think. You can do it.
Yes.
And as you talk about it, as you go through it, you can start to release it with love.
Yes.
And many of these things stay in the unconscious and affect us so profoundly in our physical
Oh. Like
they, you know, we get triggered and we get stressed for, we don't even understand why. So to get to this and heal it is just so powerful.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the woman who does the Satnam Rasayan always says, I mean, even now I've got it. She always says, you're holding a lot of stress in your heart. And so that's an area she focuses on. I can imagine how much stress I had in my heart before the heart attack. And that probably, you know, again, contributed to all of this. But yeah, exactly. You need to get to the point where you can start dealing with it and get to this mess and get it out.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. Your heart is so big and open now, Jeff. Like, you just can feel your love from over here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Jeff, let's talk about Brandy. The story, you have this amazing story of how Brandy came back to life. Can you share that with us? Because
So I will tell you, I'm breaking this on your podcast. I haven't even put this on my podcast. Okay. So I would just tell everyone, take something to drink, settle in, because this is a true story. And I'm going to launch this episode, my dad telling this story, because no one would believe it. And this is a story of love and hope and belief. And it's totally true. So I was in high school. And Brandy, if you haven't listened to my podcast, was the center of the entire family. He was a 40, 45 pound, basically walking stomach, right? I mean, he's a case hound that ate everything in sight. We loved him more than my family loved me. I will tell you a quick thing. When you get bar mitzvahed, your family takes you for pictures. And so I took Brandy because I figured out we'd get one picture of the two of us together. Well, it turned out there was one picture, not of me by myself, me with Brandy. And then there was like 15 other pictures of just Brandy in poses. So in my home, there are two pictures of me growing up. One of my, actually three, one of that picture of Brandy, but two by myself, one of my graduation at Temple, and one when I was like 2 years old with my grandparents. There's about 15 pictures of Brandy in these different poses. So when I tell you he was top of the food chain, he was top of the food chain. Well, one morning we woke up and one of us was taking him outside to go to the bathroom. We noticed everywhere he sat, there was a little drop of blood. And naturally we were worried. I mean, he was like the king. So my dad rushed him to the vet. And the vet said, we weren't there. It was just my dad. The vet said he's got cysts in his anal area and they're opening up and he's bleeding. And the way you cure this is you have to castrate the dog. It's a hormone issue. But he's kind of weak and, you know, we don't know what would happen or if he would survive. And at that point, I think he was about 10 years old. And the breed normally lives to about 13, 14. So my dad goes at work and I think he called us and we decided he had lived a good life. We loved him, but we don't want him to suffer the pain of surgery and, you know, everything. So my dad calls the vet and gives him his credit card and says, we want to put Brandy to sleep. And the vet says, okay, totally understand. And hung up the phone and this was in December. And I was probably like a junior in high school. And, I can tell you the amount of mourning that we went through. It was just excruciating without him. But every night I prayed, and I grew up in a conservative Jewish family, which is not like super, super religious, but you know, I was bar mitzvahed and we went to the high holidays. But every night for some reason I prayed and I said, because of what was going on in the family and the trauma, I prayed and I said, you got to give Brandy back to me, please. You got to bring Brandy back every single night. And that went on for two and a half months. And that's normally where this type of story would end. But not quite this one, because it was the end of February, I guess, my dad gets a call at work. Mr. Levy, this is Dr. So-and-so from the vet. Brandy's here and we're just wondering, you know, when are you going to pick him up? My dad said, what the heck are you, a little stronger words, what the heck are you talking about? He said, don't do anything, I'll be right down. He didn't even tell us, figuring it can't be the same Brandy. So he runs down to the vet, and there is Brandy in the cage with a look like, where the hell have you been? Now, keep in mind, Brandy was never caged. He slept on our beds. I mean, we catered to him. He got fed dog food all the time. You know, in our house, he got anything I ate, he ate. Pizza, Chinese food, whatever. So he was pretty upset. So it turns out what we thought is they probably got busy that day is what we figured. And they said, heck, the Levies aren't going to know. We'll put him to sleep this afternoon or tomorrow. And then we thought maybe they forgot about him. And after this, again, this started in December, maybe they went to Florida for the winter. And after two and a half months, they probably said, the Levies owe quite a bit of money. When the heck are they going to pay the bill and pick up their dog? So they called us. So it turns out that this isn't quite as big a surgery as they made out. And he had gotten a lot stronger, but his cysts had closed. And he was able to survive. And they did the surgery and we took him home. And he survived and lived another 7 years. Now that's also where normally a story like this would end, but not Brandy's story. Because my parents had an interior decorator who lived in Natick with his family, who also had a dog. And their dog just happened to be named Brandy as well. And they happened to use the same vet as we did in Natick. And they happened to bring their Brandy to the same vet on the same day that we brought our Brandy in to really be put to sleep. And it turns out their Brandy somehow passed away. He was supposed to have his nails clipped and he died. So we believe they put the wrong Brandy to sleep. Mm-hmm. So clearly, it was not our Brandy's time to go. And so about a year later, I was applying to college. And one of the questions was, tell us an event that had the most impact on your life. And I'm like talking to my dad and said, I got nothing here. And there's Brandy sitting right by my side. And my dad said, tell the story about Brandy. So I'm like, this is crazy. So I tell the story about Brandy and I include a photograph of him. And I write in the back, here's the story about Brandy. I'm including a photo because he does not make personal appearances. And sent it in. And I get accepted to a bunch of schools. And I decide I'm going to go to Temple University. And I get accepted. And we go down there for a tour. And it's a big school. It's like 40,000 total students. And I meet with an admissions counselor. And, you know, we're getting along. There's no real stress. I've been accepted. And I said, I got to ask you. You know, I didn't do very well in high school. I was like a C student. I didn't do great on the SATs. I did average. And Temple's not a bad school. What was it about me that made you decide to accept me? And she said, Jeff, your essay was the best essay we've ever seen here. It's spread throughout the entire admission staff. We can't believe the story about Brandy. And so Brandy helped me get into Temple University. And like I said, he lived another 7 years. If he was not spoiled beforehand, he wanted for nothing when we took him back. He would sit in the middle of the kitchen and just bark. And the three of us would run around the house trying to figure out what he wanted. He loved bagels, so we'd bring him bagels. He ate carrots. You know, we fed him, we got him, you know, food, whatever he wanted, until we finally stumbled upon what he wanted, and then he'd shut up. So he was spoiled. The other thing I'll mention about this story is I was in junior achievement in high school, which was a business organization. And there was a girl who was the secretary sort of my group. And she worked at the vet and ended up feeding Brandy, but never told us. So she took care of him. So that's the story of Brandy. So my message is, you know, it was the power of love and hope. And you just never know. Some things are just meant to be.
Right. And when things seem the worst in both your stories, they've led to more beautiful things. So it's just such a beautiful story. I love it. Thanks. And so your podcast is My Dog Brandy. So any dog lovers out there need to listen to this. There's beautiful stories on there with Jeff Levy. And we just want to thank you so much, Jeff, for joining us today and sharing this really incredible, heartfelt information.
Thank you, Jeff. Jane and I are going to our first Kundalini yoga this Wednesday. Thanks to you. You are inspiring us and many other people too.
Oh, you'll love it. And thank you very much for having me on and letting me, you know, ramble on and tell these stories. So thank you.
Loved having you. Join us at Empowered Health, a podcast on Facebook, and find us on iTunes and Spotify. And don't give away your power to someone else.
Just go be you.